This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 574 of Where the Hell Have They Been? Welcome back to Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and that there is Mr. Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au, now coming to you via the magic of Microsoft Teams in the absence of Skype.
That makes all the difference in the world.
All the difference.
You know, I'm pretty good, mate. I'm pretty good. You just told me that I'm in a bit of shock.
Yeah.
Because it's been at least 2 weeks since we did the podcast, and you just told me, yeah, it's been six.
Yeah, it's been 6 weeks.
I don't know why you don't keep me under a tighter control, because I blame you, because if you don't reach out, I forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. I have just had so much on. Work was insanely busy leading up to the federal election.
Of course, yeah.
We did 8 outside broadcasts in 3 weeks.
That a lot?
Which is a lot, yeah. Like, you know, if you do one in a month, it's a busy month. So to do 8 in 3 weeks was just cray-cray. Yeah, and just I had some
guy holding a microphone. Is that all you need for an outdoor broadcast?
I wish it was that simple. I wish.
That's all you ever see on TV. It's just like starting the microphone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so between that and some computer issues and having to reinstall Windows and, it's just been a crazy 6 weeks or so. So, yeah. So apologies for the lengthy delay, people. That's all on me.
Should be thanking you.
What have you been up to in the last 6 weeks, Mr. Lavender? Other than organising photo trips to Bangladesh.
Yeah, but that was only this week, though. I just decided on last Thursday or something. Oh, I might go to Bangladesh. So
I'm bored.
By Monday or something, I'd organised the trip. By Wednesday, it was open for bookings, and it's almost half sold out. So
nice.
Hasn't been a bad week.
Good problem to have.
It was like not impromptu so much. I mean, I've been do I go back to India or do I go to Bangladesh next year in February? And then India and Pakistan started bombing each other. So that kind of, made things a little simpler in the decision making process.
Yep.
Plus I had a lot of dramas on the last trip with my suppliers, my people doing the ground coverage and the airfares. And it cost me a fortune. I lost money on the tour because of how they stuffed me around.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, as my wife says, you put in months advertising and then you all this hard work in and you come home and we owe money, the point of that. So they really stuck me around that. So it left a bit of a bad taste. Not the country, but just so until I find another operator over there that I'm confident in. It was just an easy choice to go to my Bangladesh operator who I've got a lot of faith in.
Yeah, right.
And it's a much smoother process to set up, and I can dictate exactly what I want and where I want to go, and they don't have any qualms where you've almost got to ask permission in India for all the things you want to do with the tour booking companies. So it became a bit of a thing. And then here's the thing. I was pretty excited. Whilst I was researching places to go, I wanted to go to some places I hadn't been and see some things I'd never seen before. It was my kind of goal. I want to see something I ain't never seen before in my life or even necessarily heard of in my life.
Okay? Yeah, fair enough.
And so whilst I was looking around, I found this place in the middle of bloody nowhere where these guys are otter fishermen.
Right.
Yeah, it's where they use otters to fish, much like the Chinese use cormorants. Right. They use cormorants to hunt the fish. These guys have trained otters that round up the fish into their nets.
You really ought to go and check that out.
I ought to be in pictures. They ought to be in pictures. And I've never heard of this before in my life. And I've never seen anything on it. And I've certainly never seen any photos of it before.
Yeah, right. So how do they train the otters, or do they just put them on a leash?
I think they'd beat them, I think, yeah. Beat them, whip them. I don't know, it's multi-generational, so maybe they're born and raised, just that's all they know. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But I thought it sounded pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
It could be a really cool, and it's going to be a little bit Mr. Wu-ish, if anyone knows Mr. Wu, the famous cormorant fisherman in China, where he sits on a bank of a river and he actually doesn't fish with the cormorant, he just has his photo taken. It's not quite
not that. John Woo, the movie director.
No, it's not quite that stage, because Westerners just don't go to this area to pay for it. But we are going to have full access to the fishermen and their otters, and they're going to present how they do it for show as a whole operation. Help pose up some shots for us, and yeah, so hopefully have some really good photo opportunities of something, you know, uniquely different for nice. All of us, which is pretty cool. So,
nice.
So that was pretty darn cool.
Yep.
And there's lots of other areas in Bangladesh. I only haven't been there once before. I just want to go back and do it again better. You know, okay. Because you must do better the more you more to go to a spot. Because you know what you're going to find. You know what's going. Yeah, the challenges maybe that's going to be put in front of you and stuff. So I'm pretty excited to be going back. But it's a long trip. I think it's like 18 days or something, which is four or 5 days longer than my normal trips.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. But whilst I've been doing a lot of in this last 6 weeks. I've been doing a lot of gardening.
Oh, okay.
I've been planting and building greenhouses, and I built another one today, actually, and doing all sorts of stuff. I'm just growing veggies, trying to grow my own self-sustained little backyard. Nice. So I've been having a lot of fun, but I've kind of absorbed myself in that. But whilst I was doing that, I was looking through some boxes in the garage, looking for something.
Your 5-pack of adjustable spanners.
Found one of those. But I found in a box a roll of Kodak Tri-X 135 36 exposure black and white film.
Wow.
That expired in May 1984. brand new unopened box, 41 years expired.
Wow.
So I started to think, well,
has it been in a humidity free environment?
God knows. It's been in a box for 40-something years, Bruce.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Melbourne is fairly humid-free anyway. There's not a lot of humidity in Melbourne.
Are the canisters sealed in like a foil
plastic
bag?
Yeah. No. But they're in a pretty much an airtight plastic container.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's
still inside its original box.
So it should be good.
It's still completely sealed as bought off the shelf. I probably bought like a 5-pack or something way back when.
Wow.
Actually, it's probably a 10-pack because it's not this retail packaging.
Yeah.
Just never got around to using it. So there's this, there's not many rolls of film laying around, I think, in the planet that's 41 years expired. So I thought, well, and I don't shoot film and I have no interest in it. And I was kind of gutted it wasn't colour because I'd love to see what the colour shifts would have been after 40 plus years. So black and white, but it's good black and white film. So I thought, well, who give it to? Who would appreciate it?
Adam Davidson.
Oh, does he shoot film? Does he? I'll stuff him. he doesn't even listen to the podcast anymore. And if you do, Adam, say something to prove it.
Sorry, Ads.
Challenges on you, mate. No, I had to be a bit more self-serving than that.
Oh, but, you know.
Okay. I should have put it on eBay, actually. Highest bidder, probably.
Yeah.
Like $30. A guy I know plays for the North Melbourne Footy Club.
Oh, yeah.
And he's mad for his film stuff and old cameras.
Wow.
So I popped down to training, as I do quite often, to photograph training. And at the end, I've got to hand it over to him. I said, "Yeah, Charlie, have some fun with this." And he was blown away. So he's got in the mid-season break, he's going to tap into New Zealand for a week or something. So he's saving it to go shoot it in New Zealand, and you'll see the shots. So when he posts the shots,
But it's black and white, so I don't know. You're going to New Zealand mid-season. There's going to be autumn colours and winter colours, and
they'd be gone by then. It's June, July by the time you'll get there.
Yeah,
it's all happening now, sort of thing.
Yeah,
probably all over by now, actually.
Yeah,
you'll probably get snow, so it'll be perfect for black and white. there's the white part covered. Yeah. So when he posts those photos, we'll share them on here and to see if there might just either be not work at all. I'm just really curious after 40 plus years to see what comes out of it. So,
yeah, totally.
So that's pretty good. And the only other thing I've done photographically in this last 6 months since we last recorded was I ran the darkest ever natural light portrait workshop. It was so friggin' dark. I mean, it was, you may as well have been shooting it in twilight. It was that dark all day long.
Oh, no.
And then as soon as we tried to go outside, because I always do part indoors, part outdoors, it started to rain. So we're kind of stuck indoors. In an air, in very little light coming into the building, and you have 3.5 hours of shooting to come up with 3.5 hours of ideas of different stuff. Oh my God, did I work hard that day?
Yeah, right.
And the photos were not, we got a couple of nice shots, but it was the hardest I reckon I've ever had on out of 1,000+ workshops. It was the single hardest workshop I've ever had.
Wow.
And that's including ones where the models don't show up. It was that old thing about being a duck, you know, smooth on the surface and pattern like crazy underneath.
Yeah.
It worked out pretty good. And, had a new model I hadn't shot with before, and she was lovely. Her mum came along, which was really good, and they were lovely people. So it was a nice experience, but not quite crafting the images I would like to have been able to do. And the closest it's ever been was I did a workshop in Griffith in New South Wales.
Yeah.
Years ago, and it just bucketed down with rain. But because I was running for the camera store up there, but because they're on the main street, we could walk up and down the main street under all the awnings of all the shops.
Yeah.
So you could actually still function because you could get outdoors. Yeah. But this area is suburbia and there's no cover anywhere.
Oh, no.
And also, there's also not a lot, there's only a couple of areas that are kind of okay shooting, and one of them's in thigh high grass. So you don't want that. And it had already been raining all morning.
So no!
That was a joyful experience, I must say.
Wow!
But here's the thing, though. Too, I guess thinking about it now, it showed to these people that even on the worst of days, we still could capture 2 or 3 really nice photos.
Yeah,
and that's pretty good. You know, if you can come away from any shoot with 2 or 3 really nice photos, you've done okay.
Yeah.
You
know? Yep.
So yeah, even in those bleakest of times, yeah.
Yeah. What is that saying about, you know, something or other? It's 99% problem solving. I think it's.
Oh yeah, and 14% furniture removal.
There you go.
You've got to move furniture out the way, or get those flying ducks off the wall, or whatever. take that portrait of Hitler down off the wall, because that's probably not going to translate well in the photos of the bride. Yeah. So that's my photographic stuff.
Yeah.
and I'm assuming if you've been so busy at work, you haven't had the time to even pull out a camera.
I have not. I don't remember the last time I picked up my camera.
We're a great podcast, aren't
we? It's just shocking. It's absolutely shocking. I was meant to be taking some portraits last week, but that fell through.
Okay.
So hopefully that'll happen sometime soon. I really would like to organise another autumn shoot, but Tegan, the model that I've shot with the most over the last few years, she's kind of tied up with other things at the moment.
That's gonna be a good photo to take. Not tied up.
Yes, exactly. So she's not actually shooting much at the moment, and of course the trouble is, the autumn thing just comes and goes so quick.
Yeah, it's really bizarre down here in Melbourne because we're in a massive dry spell. We're in drought just about down here.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
God, you're welcome to some of our rain.
We've had no rain forever. I mean, my wife and I do a daily walk, and we're just walking past one of our lakes. Stay bone dry. Completely bone dry.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's the suburban lakes. And I had a lady actually inquire about my Bangladesh trip, and she goes, it all depends on how bad the drought goes for, because she's a farmer, and the drought will determine whether she can come to Bangladesh or not, So it was really weird. Our autumn colours, because my street's full of trees that change colour.
Yeah.
And they started, so the top of the trees changed, the bottom stayed green, and they just stopped. And they've been like that now for about 5 weeks.
Wow.
So it hasn't progressed any further. And it's the same last year, and then eventually all the leaves just fell off, including the green. They were still green, and they just fell off. It was just...
Wow.
The whole process. And then it happened in reverse. Come spring, all the blossoms, it kind of only half the tree blossomed. And then, I don't know how, the rest of it went straight from nothing to leaf.
Wow.
Without the blossom process phase in the middle. So nature's pretty screwed up down here. We've been averaging 40 to 50% above average temperatures.
Jeez.
So this time of year, we should be getting 15, 16 degrees. We've been getting 23, 24, 25.
Wow.
Yeah, days when it should have been like down to 18s to 20s, we were getting 30s, 32s. It's Celsius.
So it's messed up.
It's cooking down here, and all the rivers are low, all the dams are low. It's we're heading for a serious drought by the looks of it.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, we had an East Coast low come through here 2 weeks ago, and I've been waiting for the grass to dry out so that I could actually mow my lawn. And now the rain started again tonight, and it's looking like we are going to get another week of rain, and it's going to be heavy, and another East Coast low.
Well, we've had a couple of sprinkles over the last couple of months, and that's about it.
Yeah, right.
We've had almost zilch rain, basically.
But speaking photographically, as we were not, it's been interesting watching all of the little video clips that have been popping up on my Facebook feed of the Queensland floodwaters now flowing into Lake Eyre.
Yeah, it's pretty cool when it does that. I've seen it in years past,
right?
But I haven't seen this year's one. So
yeah, no, it looks amazing.
It's really quite remarkable how that whole network waterways work.
Yeah, for those of you who are not in Australia, Lake Eyre is this massive inland salt pan that is actually below sea level, and most of the time is dry. And it's only when we have these massive flood rains, that can sometimes be a decade apart, that you get these floodwaters that then flow down through the southwestern corner of Queensland and into the northeastern corner of South Australia.
They travel a couple of thousand kilometres.
Yeah, and then it just slowly fills up this lake, which is, tens of thousands of acres in size. It's massive. And when it does, it creates this massive abundance of life. Fish that come, there are birds that come from goodness knows where. It's just amazing to see.
And the birds know this inland lake is probably closest ocean would be 200 or 300 kilometers, I guess.
Yeah.
And you get seagulls and pelicans coming in, and all from the ocean. They just somehow know the lake's got water in it, and away they go.
Yeah,
yeah. We've been watching the Queensland rains and Sydney rains, and going, well, we got none of that.
No, you're welcome to it.
Put a big pipe from your place down to ours. Skype. No, can't Skype anymore. No, don't Skype it. it just goes to show what a vast country we live in, when there can be such disparity between. Between the floods at one end and drought at the other.
Yeah.
Since 2005, Shutters Inc. has been a labour of love. But beyond the time required to produce it, there is also a financial commitment. If you find value in the podcast and would like to help keep the servers running, hit up the Patreon link, which is in the show notes. Even a couple of dollars a month will help. Much appreciated. Now, back to the podcast.
Yeah, well, wasn't it 19 when we had the massive bushfires up here and you were getting pelted with rain down there at the same time?
Yeah. Our dams were then at 110% capacity. But that was only like 2 or 3 years later. We were all burning as well. It doesn't augur well for the burning season this year, because it's if everything's tinder dry in the middle of winter,
it's gonna be
pretty bleak. So
yeah,
'tis what it is. We live in a land of extremes, my friend.
Absolutely.
And there's this thing that doesn't exist called climate change, which has sort of speaking of climate change.
Yeah,
I was on D-Preview today.
Yeah,
just said I thought I'd do the right thing, do a bit of research. Yeah, for the pod. Yeah, didn't find none. A bit of research, but I did delve into the couple of articles talking about how Sigma's raising their prices because of tariffs, and a Chinese astrophotography camera company is no longer shipping into America because of tariffs.
Right.
DP Review's comment sections has always been worthy of a bit of entertainment value, but I've never seen it so lefty versus righty. So extreme right winger versus extreme left wing, and it was just terrible reading, I gotta tell you.
Yeah,
absolute terrible. And there was no, there was almost zero common sense being flung anywhere.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, wow. I mean, and this was the moderated comment section.
Wow.
And there's people talking about how if they use the word about a certain president starting with C, if they use his name in any comment, that comment was immediately blocked.
Wow.
Because I'm sure it's not because of any censorship other than we just don't want a shit fight all over our comment section.
Yeah, right.
But it wasn't stopping them because they just called him every other name. that was the lefties. The righties were calling him God and Moses and all the other names. It was diabolical reading. So if anyone, I was going to see if there's anything of note to talk about for the podcast, because it's going to have a significant impact on American pricing. Like for anyone who wants to buy from B&H Photo from Australia, for example, of a sudden everything at B&H Photo is going to be going up 10% to 20% to 30%.
Yeah, right.
That's going to curtail that export market that they do such good business out of.
Yep.
So it affects, probably brings into parity of what we pay here, but it has a vast. So I thought maybe there'd be some intelligent responses talking about how either they're going to adapt and adjust, but nothing. Mm. just hatred. Yeah. But
it's crazy.
It's a crazy, crazy world. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's us.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it. So what have we got to talk about? Anything at all?
Well, over the 6 weeks that we've been sitting on our butts and not recording, I've heard from Philip Johnson, Carl Hemmings, and David Marland.
So in 6 weeks, we've got 3 emails.
That's it.
And not one of them. Here's the thing. I can. I'm going to try and mind read here, Bruce.
Yeah.
Not one of them said, "Where are you guys?" or "I miss you."
Correct.
Not one of them even mentioned, even noticed.
The closest we got to any sentiment like that was from Carl, who said, "Hi guys, long time no contact, but I have been listening to the podcast." But I think that's a long time since he contacted us, not since we contacted the audience.
Oh, they don't listen.
So the first of these was from Philip Johnson, and it was a link to a Petapixel article, and he said, must have had a big SD card. The title is Created Using 715,000 Photos, the most detailed 3D model of the Titanic challenges belief. And it just occurred to me, I didn't actually send you these links, did I?
Yeah, I know, I was just going to say, they've had a sub doing, circling this thing, doing 715,000 photos.
A new National Geographic documentary, Titanic, The Digital Resurrection, takes a deep dive into the infamous Titanic disaster and centres around a cutting-edge 3D model of the shipwreck. Using 715,000 digital images captured 12,500 feet below the surface of the frigid North Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Newfoundland.
How?
That's just mad. I cannot fathom how you would post-process all of that to turn it into a 3D model. I'm sure if I watched the video, I'd probably explain it. But
Good chance.
But yeah, 360-degree immersive video. Well, 360 degrees, I can go around it. I was thinking they couldn't have gone under it, but no, that's not 360 degrees.
It's just looking at the header image there, it is astoundingly clear, isn't it?
Yeah. I wonder if there's a bit of AI noise reduction involved, because there'd be so much sediment in the water.
You would think. Maybe not at that depth. Who knows? What stirs up sediment is ocean tides. That depth, maybe there's no tidal movement.
Maybe.
Well, there's nothing growing.
Yeah.
There's not any barnacles, there's no coral, there's no fishies.
Well, there'd be sea life down there. Well,
there's nothing in the pictures.
Well, they might have just shoot them off. Said, go play somewhere else.
Like you do when you go to, like, the loo. You just take, like, 30 photos of the same spot, and then get Photoshop to take out the moving people. Parts.
Yeah.
That's what I've done. They've defishified it.
That the patented terminology, is it?
It's fishifying. Look at that one from above where you've got the bow of the ship.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But have you seen pictures of how big the Titanic is compared to modern cruise ships?
Oh, it was tiny.
It's just compared to these behemoths.
Yeah, it looks like a dinghy in comparison. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like it's like the tugboat is pulling you out to sea. Wow.
Like the detail where the ship actually broke in two.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal. The lighting is really interesting. Like they've obviously had, you know, multiple light sources whilst shooting, because everything's really nicely lit.
It's just amazing how little decay there's been because of oxygen-free water.
Yeah.
That is, you can look at there's a picture below the one of the ship snapped in two, which is where the drone with the submersibles with its lights on lighting up the ship.
Lighting up the bow of the ship. Yeah.
Just look at that jewelry. Look at that jewelry. Oh, my God.
The bracelets in the mud. Yeah.
Bracelet and even just like little beads. That is astounding detail.
Yeah.
Oh, a shark tooth fob it is.
Yeah,
pocket watch and boar tusk bangle.
So if you've got Disney Plus or Hulu, or presumably National Geographic Channel, it should now be up because it started on April 11. So.
Wow, I might have to go a bit of a gander at that.
It's probably been withdrawn by now because we've been so late getting to it.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got just Disney Plus. I should have
some of those shots are just astounding.
Yeah.
Haunting.
Very nice stuff. So thank you, Philip Johnson. Much appreciated. Carl Hemmings said, "Hi, guys. Long time, no contact, but I have been listening to the podcast. Just started to watch Travel Shooters, streaming now on SBS On Demand. Looks like their photographic budget is endless. Drones, high-end DSLRs, steady cams, etc. They go to the USA, Colorado National Park, Red Rocks, Durango, the Rockies, Aspen. Only two episodes so far. They capture some footage and stills, and for Glenn, the go fly fishing in Aspen."
I've got to say, they might have an endless budget, but not to leave the USA, obviously. Endless budget, local.
So since that email, there have been a further three episodes released. So there are now five episodes on SBS On Demand. Obviously, that's probably only good for Australian listeners.
Yeah, but I'm sure if you Googlerated it in your country of origin, you'd get a bomb not available to watch or something.
So, yeah, that looks like it'll be worth checking out. And David Marlin sent us something that he said, "Thought this might be of interest. Also, comments about Canon." This is on DP Review. Tamron is shifting where its lenses... God, I hate pop-ups on websites. Tamron is shifting where its lenses are made because of US tariffs.
Well, as someone who the first comment had to go straight to the comment section, "Wow, he did it. Tamron is moving 100% of its production to the US. Oh, wait. Well, this would have happened last time he was in.
Yeah.
The reason Tamron have any manufacturing facilities where they do out of China is because of the tariffs. So the tariffs this time, that's why I think Vietnam or some of those countries have like 45% tariffs on them, because all these companies moved their production from China to Vietnam last time.
Right.
So that's part of the reason why is they were trying to circumvent the Chinese tariffs. But that's now, of course, is a bit more of a blanket approach this time around.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're actually going to achieve an awful lot. And maybe it's the difference between having a 45% tariff and a 145% tariff. The last bandied around numbers. So the goal isn't just for this guy's going. The goal isn't just for encouraging manufacturing in the US, but also to allow for market access to other countries. The US has far better trade relations with Vietnam than China. Thus, if you're a business owner, the US makes products in the US, you'll pretty much have a chance of getting your products officially on the retail shelves in China. Here's the thing. I think about trade like, if I go to a shop and buy something, I expect the shop to make a profit.
Yes.
And I get the thing that I want.
Yeah.
If I'm a country and I buy something from another country, I expect them to make a profit.
Yep.
Because why would they be doing it? And I expect me to benefit.
Yeah.
It's bloody simplistic. And the thing is, I guess people say, but they won't let us sell our products to them. Well, it's maybe because their products are they complain, well, why won't the Brits buy American cars? I said, have you seen the size of the roads in England?
Yeah, exactly.
You're lucky to get a bicycle with only one wheel down them.
Yeah.
You know? So a bicycle with only one wheel, of course, is a unicycle.
That's right.
Anyway, you know why the bicycle's always leaning over?
Why?
Because they're too tired. That's a bit of a dad joke, boy. You know, if the stuff is good, this is the rule in all things. If the stuff is good and people want it, they'll buy it.
Yep.
My kids love US candy. They buy it.
Yep. Yeah.
They pay a premium for it. It's like
what they
sell for a dollar. Imagine my eldest loves this Arizona iced tea. It's $1.90 on the can. It says 99 cents on the can. That's 99 US cents. He pays $5 a can.
Oh.
So if you want it, you'll pay for it.
Yeah.
And guess what? The bloke in America making the iced tea is making the profit, probably the same profit he makes selling it at home.
Yeah.
But he gets more market share. But yeah, if your product's good, people will buy it, even if it's more expensive.
Yeah.
If your product's no good, or it's not got any value, they won't buy it. It's pretty simple bloody economics. And
yeah.
I think any country with, and this is not partisan to the US, any country that has tariffs probably needs a head read, because it's probably not protecting what they thought it's protecting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just do your own stuff better. It's like anything. It's like any business. Do your own stuff better, and that's how you beat your competition.
That's it.
Ain't rocket surgery.
That's it.
But thanks for sending the link through, Dara. I did actually see that and thought that through. And but yeah, there's the whole world. I saw some stuff on how the Leica tariffs are affecting Leica things, because a lot of the Leica stuff's made in Japan, China, of course.
Right.
Like all the batteries and like their batteries are going from like $200 to $380.
Ouch.
And they're already stupidly expensive at $200.
Yeah.
Now they're doubly stupidly expensive, you know. And nothing ever comes down in price to where it was.
No.
And the old shrinkflation. Have you bought a Mars bar lately, Bruce?
No.
Any time in the last couple of years? Well, I'd recommend you go buy one.
Right.
Because it's about the third of what it used to be.
In size?
Yeah. It's about the size of my index finger now, Bruce. Right. And thickness. It's the slimmest little tiny. It's a wafer thin. Yeah. I put on McDonald's Facebook page recently a photo of me holding a Big Mac and suggesting they just change it to Mac.
Yeah.
I'm holding it with two fingers and a thumb, and I'm dwarfing it. They're big. They're not much big, and the beef is 1 millimeter thick.
It's they should rename it the McSlider.
That's awesome. Oh, I wish I thought of that. but here's the thing now. You can buy, I think, a Big Mac with a chips and a drink is like $16 Australian now for a combination. I go to this great fish and chip shop that makes just bespoke, gorgeous burgers.
Yeah.
Great chips cooked really, really well, and a large actual bottle drink, not the
post mix.
It costs $19.
Yeah.
It's $3 more and it's handcrafted.
And you would much rather buy that.
It's filling.
Yeah.
Not sickly filling.
Yeah.
As in, you don't feel sick after it. You know, we didn't else. It's actually filling. So someone who does something well, he can charge more.
Yep.
And I'll go buy it. It charges even more than the price he does. I'd still buy it.
Yep.
So it just means shopping around. So countries should do that. Shop around.
Yeah.
Find out who's prepared to pay a decent price for your stuff, and away you go.
Yeah.
So we've solved the world problems, Bruce. What are we going to do for next episode?
Who knows?
Come to Bangladesh, should be somebody. Anyone who's to come to Bangladesh, get in touch and I'll send you the brochure.
So where can they find information?
They can email me, message me on socials.
How can they contact you, Glenn?
Email me, Glenn at creativephotoworkshops.com.au, and I'll send you a brochure. Much easier if you just message me on Facebook, because I can just go click and send it to you and I don't have to read an email. But I assure you, I put more effort into the tour than there is the
than into the pitch.
And actually, this is another classic example of, you know, I post online that I'm doing a tour to Bangladesh on these dates, and my wife goes, "Oh, are you?" That's a response. I hadn't told her about it.
Oops.
So we went for our evening walk tonight. So I think I'm going in November again next year as well. So if you can't make February or if it's sold out, it might be a November trip too. By the looks of this is this festival where there are all these hundreds of people line up at night and praying with all these little flames in front of them. So you just got these rows and rows of lanterns and flames. It's just stunning photos, just amazing looking photos. So
yeah, nice.
I kind of want to go and shoot that. So
beautiful.
So maybe a November tour next year as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up.
We've solved the world's problems.
Yeah, that's it.
Nothing else has happened photographically.
That's it. I am really keen to hear back from your footballer, mate.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for the mid-season break, not only so I don't have to keep watching my team lose, but also...
Hey, mate, you're doing better than my team, so...
Oh, yeah, I know. But we play you in a few weeks, I think, so we'll see you the battle of the losers.
Nah.
You're the bottom of the ladder. We're second bottom of the ladder, dude.
Yeah, but we're what, 8 rounds in and no wins?
Yeah, mate, we were 12 rounds in last year.
Oh, really?
So we're fractionally better this year. Yeah, we've managed to not win 4 games that we should have won. So,
you had a draw last week. And what was amazing? I don't know if you saw this, but the stats for that game were freakishly identical.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it?
Right, yeah. So it was the same number of goals, the same number of points.
Yeah.
It was the same number of behinds through the left goalpost. It was the same number of behinds through the right goalpost. It was the same number of rushed behinds. It was something like the same number of marks inside 50.
They had the same number of players on the field, too.
But honestly,
both teams.
It was crazy how many stats were identical.
Wow. Yeah.
Anyway.
Awesome. Anyway.
All right.
We'll see you in another 6.
At least.
Or even less, possibly.
Yeah. 5. We'll see what we can do. Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. Well, good
Take
to chat
care,
with you.
Everybody. And send us stuff. If you've got anything of interest, please send us stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
Life doesn't do any work.
Yes. All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
You've been listening to Shutters Inc. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.